Psalm chapter 23, we're going to be continuing our study in this great psalm of David's. Today we're going to be looking primarily at verse 3, where he proclaims that he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now I want you to look up here for a minute and answer this question. What do the following men have in common? Jacob? David? Samson? And David Owen? Well, what these men have in common is that all of them, at some point in time, were out of fellowship with God. For you see, sin separates us from God. It places us out of fellowship with God. That's why the Bible refers to the gospel and the preaching of the gospel as the ministry of reconciliation. It is the reconciling of man and God, the bringing back together those that have been parted. And it was sin, each of our sins, that separated us from God. And it's God who reconciles us to Himself. He brings us back to him. And each one of us could put our name on that list with those men and the other men and women of the Bible that we read about. We are all ones who have been brought back to God and brought back to Him by His tender care. And that's what the psalmist is depicting here in Psalm chapter 23, and particularly in verse 3. For you see, it's seemingly true that it is the characteristic of sheep that sheep will wander and they will stray. And it is a characteristic of a shepherd that he will go and search for his straying sheep to bring them back. He will restore them to the safety of the sheepfold. It's no wonder then that David would write this 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And then he would say, He restores my soul. I want to talk to you about how to get right and stay right with God. Because that's really what we're talking about when we talk about being reconciled to God. Every person here today, if you're a Christian, you at one time we're not right with God, and you had to get right with God. And once becoming a Christian, it is to be our resolve, it is our duty to stay right with God. And it may be that on occasions Christians will wander and stray. And that in very, probably a primary sense, is the idea in the 23rd Psalm, that is of someone who is in God's sheepfold, someone who is among God's people, who strays away, who leaves the paths, who ceases to follow the shepherd, and who must be brought back. So we need to know, we need to learn how to get right with God and how to stay right with God. If you're not right, you need to get right. If you are right, you need to stay right. And that's what David is going to discuss for us. We're going to talk about what the Bible calls backsliders. Those that slide away from the Lord, who slide away from His approval and fall out of that relationship with God. You know, the Bible talks to us about such being the case for some. It talks to us in the book of Galatians, for instance, about some who are severed from Christ. Some who are fallen from grace. Now, you know, I believe David knew something about being a backslider. In Psalms chapter 51 and in verse 12, he wrote, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." He knew what it was like to lose the joy of a saved relationship with God. And so then he could write, as we've noted there in Psalm 23, He restores my soul. Now, I want to tell you how the Lord restores us, how He reconciles us to Himself. I believe there are three wonderful truths that are revealed to us in this verse, truths about how to get right and how to stay right with God. The first that I'm going to speak to you about, I'm going to call the ministry of the shepherd. David thought of himself as a sheep, and the Lord as his good shepherd, the one who looked to the care of David and of the other sheep in his fold. Now let me tell you something about sheep. You know, in our study thus far, we've talked some about various characteristics of sheep. And I want to suggest to you today that there may be three kinds of sheep that need to be restored. Stubborn sheep need to be restored. Do you know any stubborn sheep? You know, sheep can get that way, and they can just go off away from the flock and from the guidance of the shepherd. They can go their own way, just like people can say, I'm going to go my own way. Probably the anthem of people like that is that song, I did it my way. If we try to do it our way, if we try to live life our way, it's going to be in a different way than God's way. Now, I'm not saying to you that we can't live in God's way. We can. But it's going to be God's way and not the way of our own making. Sheep can become stubborn and want to go their way. Sheep can also become straying. They don't stubbornly go away. They meekly go away. Weakly go away. They just stray. They just wander. And they fall into pits. And they get into crevices and into sinkholes. How many times do you see it in the lives of people who are Christians? Who don't just rebelliously say, I'm no longer going to follow God. I don't care anymore about what Jesus says. But rather, just over the course of time, gradually, in little indiscernible increments in their life, just get a little further, and soon they're off away. And they're caught in very hard and in very difficult circumstances in life. Well, people can stray away. And people can also become sick. You know, a lot of times the Bible talks to Christians about being sick. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, for instance, says to them in the 11th chapter that many of you are sick. And we can become spiritually sick. Jesus used this imagery when he talked about himself as the physician. He talked about the fact that those who are well, those who are whole, need no physician. But those that are sick do need a physician. And he came. We sing that song. The great physician now is here. The sympathizing Jesus. Now we can become sick. We can become spiritually ill. You know what a shepherd would do with his sheep? He would bring them in each night. And then he would begin to look over each individual sheep and see if during the course of the day it had become injured in some way. Or see if it was ill, maybe from something that it ate. But there would be an inspection of each sheep to see that it was whole, to see that it was cared for. Sheep can become sick. Now, who is it that's responsible to care for stubborn sheep and for straying sheep and for sick sheep? It is, of course, the shepherd. It is his duty to go after these sheep and to care for and provide for them what they need. Now, in the text, we're going to notice that the psalmist writes about some instruments that the shepherd has at his disposal. We'll look ahead a little bit of ourselves down in verse 4 where he mentions some of these instruments. He has primarily three instruments that he uses to care for the sheep. The stubborn sheep. How do you correct one who has become rebellious? Here, the Bible talks about he has a rod. You know what a shepherd's rod was? What a shepherd would do? He would find a root or perhaps a limb in a tree where there was a knot or a knob. And he would cut that root or that limb off at the length that he desired so that at one of the ends was this knob. And then he might begin to fashion the rest of that piece of wood to straighten it. He would whittle it to fit like he wanted. But at the end of this process, at the end of that piece of wood would be that knob. It was weighted at that end. He might even add some things to it to weighten it even more. And that became a tool for his use. He would use that. We would probably call it a club. And he would use that to ward off thieves who might come to try and steal his sheep, or to defend his sheep against predatory animals, wolves or lions that inhabited the hills of Judea. Now, sometimes he would use that rod on a sheep too. If a sheep became rebellious, if it became stubborn, he would take that rod and he would strike the sheep with it. It was not a pleasant thing to happen. The sheep certainly didn't enjoy it. But you know, in a lot of ways, that demonstrates exactly how God deals with rebellious people, His people. Turn your Bibles over to Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. The prophet Hosea is speaking here, and listen to what he says. He says to Israel, to his people, "Come, let us return to the Lord. For He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us." You know, that's exactly what a shepherd may have to do with a stubborn sheep. He may have to inflict some kind of wound upon it in order to get it to quit being stubborn and rebellious. And then he might have to tend a wound that had been inflicted. But why does he do it? He does it because he cares for the sheep. Now, turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews and listen there to what the inspired writer has to say in Hebrews chapter 12 and about the way that God corrects His people. He says in verse 5 of Hebrews 12, "You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." A scourge is a whip. Now read on in verse 7. "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. All discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet, to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." Now, stubborn sheep can do one of three things. with this discipline from the Lord, from the use of the rod of correction. One thing they can do is they can resent it. They can regard it lightly, as we've read here in Hebrews 12 and verse 5. The admonition was, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. We can just dismiss it as being unimportant. Doesn't apply to me. Or just, I don't care. I'm not going to listen to it at all. But now, if we do that, we do a foolish thing. Because as we've read here in Hebrews 12, this kind of disciplining of the Lord that we ought not to regard lightly reveals some important things to us. It reveals, number one, our sonship. It reveals that God is our Father. Look in verse 6 of Hebrews 12. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Why do you as parents discipline your children? Is it not because you love them? Because you want the best for them? That's why God loves us. That's why God disciplines His children. But not only does it reveal His discipline, reveal our sonship, it renews our worship. Look at verse 9 again. We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Have you ever heard someone say something like this? Oh boy, I tell you, my dad, boy, he would really lower the boom on us. And we respected him for it. Now, does a person say that sort of thing because they enjoyed what happened? No. They say it because they have come to appreciate the reason for the administering of that correction and how it benefited them. That's all that the writer here in Hebrews is saying to us. God's disciplining of us reveals our sonship. It also renews our worship of Him. We acknowledge Him. We come to appreciate more that He is God, our Father. But then the third thing that it will do is it will restore our fellowship. Look at verse 11 again. Discipline, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet, to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It restores our fellowship. When you were young and you were chastised by your father or your mother, did you say, boy, this is wonderful? Did you say, boy, I wish I could get some more of this? Yeah, if you did, let me tell you, you got a different kind of chastisement than I got. I suspect you didn't say those things because all discipline, all of it, is not joyful. For the moment, it's sorrowful. But afterward, it yields something worthwhile. It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Now, if a stubborn sheep resents God's administering even a severe kind of rebuke, as He does through His Word, if we resent that sort of thing, then we have done something very foolish. But I want to tell you also that a stubborn sheep may also faint under God's discipline. As you look there in Hebrews 12, you go back to verse 5 there again. He says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved. You know what happens when a person faints? They just give up. They just throw their hands up and they quit. If this is the way God is going to be, if He's going to be so critical of me, then I'll have nothing more to do with Him. We can faint under the correction of God. And the third thing that a stubborn sheep can do is not only resent God's correction or faint under God's correction, the third thing they can do is they can be trained by God's correction. Look in verse 11. Discipline For the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, correction from God has a purpose. The purpose is to train us. It is always for the good. It is always for our best. God withholds nothing from us that is good. And He trains us in everything that is good. Now, how does God deal with a stubborn sheep? He does it with the rod of His correction. So don't resent it. Don't faint under it. But rather, be trained by it. But I want to tell you, there's another thing that's said here. And that is about a straying sheep. How might a straying sheep be corrected? The shepherd is said not only to have a rod, he has a staff. Now this might be more familiar to us. You ever seen those pictures of little Bo Peep who lost her sheep? Every one of them, she's got that big long thing in her hand, goes up, straight up, and then there's a bend in it, there's a crook. That's called the shepherd's crook. And what these shepherds would do is they would find a sapling. That's just a long, green, pliable piece of trunk of a small tree. And they'd cut that down. And they would bend that over. They would form it in the crook that they wanted. And they would tie it up. And then they would dry it over a long period of time. So it became formed permanently in that shape. And then they had this long staff. And as they walked through the hillsides with their sheep, if their sheep got into areas where they shouldn't be, where if they've just strayed off, they've fallen into some pit or they've gotten into a crevice, what that shepherd could do is he could take that staff formed so that that crook would just wrap right around that sheep and he could pull that sheep out of that trouble. Or if he saw the sheep heading into trouble, he could take that staff because it was longer than that rod was. He could take that long staff and he could just kind of guide that sheep away from the trouble. He could just touch the sheep with that staff. Do you get the picture of how the shepherd using the staff was providing intimately, caringly, gently, the direction for his sheep to go in? It's just like God's word. And how God, like a shepherd, directs us gently. Not always with the firm and the harsh correction that sometimes is necessary, but more often it's with the gentle touch, the guidance, gently pulling us out of trouble, just like a shepherd would his sheep. But you know, there was a third tool in the use of the shepherd, and that was a bottle of oil. And as I told you before, he would each night take each sheep and he would run his hands along the sheep and feel for wounds or places that the sheep might have been harmed. And with that oil, he would pour it onto those places where they had been wounded, and he would soothe their wounds and he would heal them in that way. He would ease them, bring them to comfort. God does the same thing with us. He soothes our wounds. He heals our hurts. He does it by means of His Word. God corrects us. God cares for us. God brings us into His caress. You know, David had been a stubborn sheep at one point in his life, and he had been chastised sorely for it. I think he'd probably been a straying sheep, and he had probably been a sick sheep or wounded. And in each case, he had either been chastised or corrected, or he had been comforted by God. Now we can thank God for the ministry of our shepherd, who will chastise us when needed, correct us for our good always, and always comfort us. But now, not only should we think about the ministry of the shepherd, but we can think as well, as we look there at Psalms 23, about the mastery of the shepherd. He restores my soul. That's what he does in that correction and that chastisement and that gentle caring. He restores my soul and he leads me in paths of righteousness. You know what I'm afraid happens a lot of times? Folks become very interested and desirous of being restored. I want that restoration, but they don't want the leading. But he restores my soul and he leads me. You see, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. If we don't find in God's restoration the opportunity for us to walk in righteousness, following his lead, being mastered by him, we're going to end up right back in the same kind of trouble that we were in before. When are we ever going to learn to follow the shepherd? Sometimes you hear folks say, members of the church, been members for the church for a lot of years, oh, I'll tell you what the church needs is leadership. No, what the church needs and what the church has always needed is fellowship. We've got a leader. We don't need some preacher or someone to arise to be a great leader among the brethren. We've got the leader. It's just a question of whether we're willing to follow him. You know what following this leader means? It means being obsessed with the shepherd. It means loving him fully and completely and above all others. It means observing the shepherd, keeping our eyes upon him. That book of Hebrews that we referred to, the 12th chapter, begins with the admonition for us to place our eyes, to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Are you observing the Lord? And then we must obey our shepherd. You can't obey someone that you don't listen to. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Now that's the mastery of the shepherd. So many want to get out of trouble, but they don't want God to claim too much of their lives. They don't want to be mastered by him. But that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to master us and lead us so that we will walk in righteousness. I heard a good story the other day about a football coach who was going to be recruiting new players. And he got one of his former players to come and help him recruit. And he said, "Now, John, I want to make sure you understand what kind of player I'm looking for." And John said, "Okay." He said, "John, you know, there are some players who get out on the field and they get knocked down and they stay down." John said, "We don't want that player, coach." Coach said, "Yeah, that's right. We don't want him." He says, "But John, there are players who get knocked down and they get back up and then they get knocked down again and they stay down." And John said, "We don't want that player either, do we, coach?" Coach said, "No, we don't want him, John." He said, "But John, there are some players who get knocked down and they get up and they get knocked down and they get up and they get knocked down and they get up. And every time they get knocked down, they get up." John said, "That's the player we want, coach." Coach said, "No, John, we want the guy who's knocking everybody down." Now, I'm thankful and I need a shepherd who, when I get knocked down, when I sin, is willing to help me up. And I'm grateful that he will help me up. But friends, what God wants to do for us is not just keep helping us up and helping us up and helping us up. He wants to get us to the point where we can stand. How many times does the Bible call upon us to stand? Stand firm. Don't you want to quit being knocked down and getting up all the time? Don't you want to be to where you can stand? Well, what that's going to require is the mastery of God in our lives. We're going to have to be willing not only to have him restore our souls, but also to allow him to lead us in righteousness. If we'll do that, then there'll be a lot fewer times we get knocked down. There'll be more times that we're standing. But not only must we be aware of His mastery over us, all of this is said to have occurred for His majesty's sake. The majesty of the shepherd. Verse 3 says, He restores my soul. He leads me in righteousness for His name's sake. Who is He? We go right back. We know who He is. We go right back to that first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. And we talked about when we studied that first verse, that is the word for Jehovah. Jehovah is my shepherd, David was saying. And when we come into the New Testament and we read about who the shepherd is, who is the good shepherd? It is Jesus. Who is the great shepherd? It is Jesus. Who is the chief shepherd? Again, it is Jesus. Jesus is called Lord in the New Testament because He is the divine one. He is our Jehovah. The Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, He restores my soul. And He leads me in paths of righteousness. But He does it for His name's sake. You know, a lot of times we talk about why did God save us? Well, because He loves us. And that's true. He does, and thank God for it. But He saved us for His name's sake. He saves us from sin. He defeats the power of Satan in our lives to bring glory to His name. To His own name. And it is for His name's sake that He restores our souls and leads us in righteousness. Are you following Him? Are you being led in righteousness today? Perhaps as a child of God, one of His sheep, you've strayed from His guidance. Come back to it today for His name's sake. Or perhaps you've never obeyed the gospel. Perhaps you've never been one who has been saved as yet. Then you need to be reconciled to God, to have your sins forgiven. Jesus taught men and women how that might be done. He called upon people to believe that He is God's Son. And in their faith in Him, to turn from their sins, to repent of the ways of sin. And repenting of their sins, confess Him as the Christ, and then to be baptized. Washing away the guilt of their sins. For he who believes, Jesus said, and is baptized, will be saved. Do you need to be saved? Whatever it may be, get right and stay right with God. We encourage you to while we stand and sing.